Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. You know how every podcast now has to be on video, so you have to have a video on YouTube, or you're doing a guest podcast and recording it via webcam, and then those become clips for social. I am also a participant in this. I used to do my podcast directly into a microphone, no video, and there was something really intimate about, I think, that experience. I could be by myself in the bedroom, sitting on a toilet, in my car, right? I'm always moving. And then just like in the last year or two, it's like I've fallen into the trap of doing a podcast with video attached because that's how you're supposed to do it these days. Anyway, I'm sharing that because today I'm snapping back to the old me. I am talking to you in my car, no video, directly into my phone. And I think this is good for me once in a while because it reminds me of when I started this, why I started this, the whole captain's log documentation. And I love the intimacy of this. You know, I, for a living, have a phone or some kind of screen pointed at my face. And so to not have that is really, it's refreshing. It's calming. I don't feel like I'm performing. Anyway, two things I want to talk about today and today's episode. One is don't hold in your pee, and I'll explain. And then I wanted to end the episode about a heart-centered life and what that looks like, the conscious heart. All right. So if I have to go to a meeting and I have to pee, I usually just hold it. Just 20 minutes ago, I was working at a coffee shop, and then I knew I had to get to my gym to take a class, and I had to pee. And usually I hold it because I'm just like, what, it's 20 minutes or 15 minutes in the car, I could hold it, right? I don't want to go walk down the hallway. I don't want to have to get the key to go somewhere else. I don't want to wait in line. So I just hold it. And what I've noticed is that 15 minutes of me holding in my pee is uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about when you have to pee so bad that like you're going to lose your shit. Of course you go, right? But I'm talking about that I got to pee, but it's not that bad, so I'm just going to hold it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like when men used to carry wallets in their back pocket, and their wallets would eventually get very fat from various punch cards and shit that you collect, and we would just put our wallet, it's basically a soft stone in our back pocket, pressed up against our ass, and we would just take it, and it wouldn't feel good. Our butt's lopsided, it probably fucked with our spine, and over the years, like a stone in your shoe, we just take it, you know, we just suffer through it. You know, that's where wallets go. And now no one carries wallets, right? I mean, my wallet's attached to my phone. No one carries cash. But I remember the days when we used to just carry wallets in our back pockets and these giant wallets that made our ass uncomfortable. And we would just drive with this bump on our ass, right? And so like that, the feeling of having to kind of subtly pee, that discomfort, even if it's for 15 minutes, it's little things like that that I have decided to remove from my life that has really changed my life. And I know it doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but if you think about how many of those coins collected just makes shit heavy, you know? And so it's a reminder. And it may not be you having to hold in your pee. It may be something different. It may be maybe for you, maybe it's answering calls that you don't really want to answer. Maybe it's not telling someone how you really feel. You know, I don't know what the fat wallet in your ass looks like for you. Well, it's not really in your ass. It's on your ass. It's on half of your ass. A fat wallet a lumpy wallet that hurts your ass. I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, holding in my pee is one of them. So just a reminder to, life's too short. Life's too short. And also, you know, going back to what I talk about a lot, our state and our nervous system and, you know, the frequency we live on, that subtle discomfort adds up. And it, I think it fucks with our nervous system, you know, and it's, yes, you may not be deregulated and you may not think the sky is falling, you may not be in fight or flight, but that just kind of like subtle discomfort, you know what I'm saying? The other topic I wanted to talk about is your heart. So heart and logic, always at war. And I would say logic usually wins because, most of us don't believe what we're worth, what we deserve. Most of us have practiced ignoring what we feel in our heart and instead making decisions based on logic, based on what makes sense. You know, we do this when it comes to jobs. We do this when it comes to relationships sometimes and dating. And so just a reminder that the answers are more in your heart, and the way to actually know that is going to be through experience. It's going to be through practicing. You know, when people use words like intuition, gut, and my radar is very dull because I am very logical and have always been making decisions based on, you know, what made sense, or like analyzing something and this seems to be more advantageous or there's more risk here, right? But sometimes just going with your heart. When I think about the things that I've done that have, you know, the seeds that I've planted that have turned into fruit, that have bared fruit, they've all been heart-driven decisions. You know, I got my first literary agent because I heard her on a podcast, and she told listeners to not contact her because she, in her, I don't know, 30 years of being an agent in New York, could count on one hand how many times she's taken on clients just from a query letter. And so logic would tell me not to waste my time, but my heart said, no, reach out, email her. And I got her email and I did it. And that was a heart decision. And that one decision led to, it was the first domino in a full-time writing career as an author. You know, if I had listened to my logic, I would not have reached out. And so little things like that, that have become big and life-changing, they've all been heart decisions. They've all been, and you know, I've also done things where I pulled from heart and was very disappointed. You know, I've made a decision based on heart and have been rejected. Someone doesn't answer on the other line, you know, many times, right? And I think it's okay because, one, the practice of that is a great, it's a great muscle to exercise, you know? So I got a lot of practice in, a lot of rejection, a lot of no's. And then the other piece is, well, you have the knowing of knowing. You know what I'm saying? You're walking away knowing that even though the answer wasn't what you wanted, at least you turned over that rock. At least you know now. And I think that's a valuable thing because then you go through life with a lot of what ifs, you know, and instead of acceptance and groundedness and living in the here and now, you're like, what would have happened if I had done this? If I made the first move? If I emailed this person or DM'd this person or kissed this person or expressed how I really felt, what would have happened? And living with that unknown, I think, is suffering, or can be, you know, depending on how much you play that in your head. Heart-centered to me means dropping in to your heart. I read somewhere that your heart produces, I think, 6 times more energy than, was it your thoughts? I think it was your thought. I forget what it was, but it was your heart. The energy in your heart is exponential, you know, and I just think that we don't tap into it. I also think that when we lead with our hearts, we are living more in our solid self than pseudo. And by solid self, I mean your authentic self. This was one of the first questions I asked myself after divorce, is what would it look like to start pulling from my solid self? And what I was really asking myself is, can you now live a heart-centered life? Can you base decisions not on logic, but on how you feel, on your truth, on your story? And I'll tell you what, it changes everything. Because think about how many decisions you make a day. So it doesn't matter if what you want in your heart is a donut or what you want in your heart is to express to someone that you are falling in love with them. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If everything is kind of heart-centered, if you're pulling from heart, the energy that produces, and also the action of that, I think, really connects you to self instead of disconnects. Because there's a lot of things that we do based on logic that disconnects us, right? And we just kind of like white-knuckle through it. But if we start making decisions based on our heart, based on our truth, what we feel, what we want, what we desire, what we believe we deserve, your life, just that one action, your life will change. Because of so many decisions that we have to make daily, you know? And so your heart could be asking for a rest day. Your heart could be asking for you to go spend alone time. I just purchased my partner Vanessa for Valentine's Day. I bought her a staycation, so she's actually away from me. And I know, like, because logically, that I thought on Valentine's Day you're supposed to be with your partner, right? Chocolates and flowers and romantic. Well, I know her, and she's tired, and she wants to be untethered, and she wants freedom, and that's sexy to her, right? And so instead of putting my needs and thinking what I feel like a good Valentine's gift would be, I bought her a little hotel staycation, like an hour away by the beach. And I'll take care of the kid. You go. So like for Valentine's Day, I'm actually encouraging you to not be with me. And that's coming from heart. It's not coming from logic, because logic would say otherwise, right? And so, just a reminder, as I end, in my, well, you know, this doing this episode without a video, with no video, with just me talking into a phone was a heart-centered decision. Now, it doesn't mean that I want to do this every single time, because I do enjoy the video stuff too, but it's heart-centered because it's what I felt. I didn't want to be on camera. I just wanted to talk. I wanted to do what I used to do many years ago when I started my podcast, you know, and just talk into my phone by myself. So that's a heart-centered decision, you know, and I think your decisions ripple outward and impact other people. So the energy behind that decision. There's something really empowering about looking at your decisions first coming from truth and then knowing that it's bigger than you, you know. I think that's what makes humans and how we're all connected magical and unexplainable. And the wonder of that, I think, gets us all to hold hands in a way, if that makes sense. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm trying to think of housekeeping things. I launched a merch store. So I have some mugs and t-shirts and hoodies. Cool stuff. Stuff that I actually bought myself and want to wear. I always kind of get embarrassed when I launch new products because I feel like a Korean bodega and I'm selling hubcaps and pagers and shit. No, my merch store is heart-centered. They're things that the words I believe in and products that I would buy. I think they're cool. Like a toddler shirt that says boundaries. just one word across the toddler's chest. It's my I think my favorite thing so far. It's at my merch shop. Anyway, you could find that on my bio link at my Instagram at The Angry Therapist. Thank you for listening. Be well.